The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the tech sector has long been the envy of employees in other industries, but has that bubble burst? New figures show that major employers, and particularly in tech firms, are still in layoff mode after some 18 months of unrest in the jobs market. I'm joined in studio now by Donal O'Donoghue, Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment Ireland and host of the Talent Matters podcast. Donal, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I thought that the cull was over.
We thought that we were over the worst of it, didn't we? But there was an article in the Business Post on Sunday by Donal McNamee based on a freedom of information request, because you know the way the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment has to be notified of collective redundancies. And actually what the numbers suggest is that February 2024 was the highest number of notifications. So there was just under 1,800 jobs put at risk that the government was notified of in February.
Now, do the employees know yet? These jobs, or are they saying in this calendar year we are going to downsize by this amount and therefore we're telling you, or are these jobs that have already been, if you like, sacrificed?
They're not jobs that have been sacrificed because they have to go through a process, but they're jobs that the employees will now be put on notice that their position is at risk. And the interesting thing is when you look at January and February 2024, that's 2,500 jobs. Now, the good news for people is that we still haven't hit that point where people are finding that their roles aren't being replaced, but we're definitely seeing that the market has moderated. There's somewhere between 20 and 23% fewer jobs on the market in 2024 than there was in 2022. So it's having some interesting effects on people. We're seeing people a lot more reluctant to look at a move, you know, to think about moving jobs for an extra 5K or something like that. Or
what I have, I hold.
Exactly. You know, better the devil you know, because there's protections that you have when you're in place. You know, if you're in an organisation and you've been there for over 12 months, you're protected under the unfair dismissals legislation. If you've been there for over 2 years, you're protected under the redundancy legislation. Whereas when you move jobs, you're back into a probationary period and you have very few protections for the first couple of years.
What is actually going on then? I mean, did they over-employ? Or, you know, as we see all the movers and shakers in tech in California taking their profits, selling off shares and, you know, taking cash out of the business because maybe they think they've reached peak in stock market terms, whatever about in activity terms, because the two are not necessarily linked.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because a lot of the time when we see these notifications, particularly from US companies, it's linked to the earnings period. So, you know, when there are businesses, listed businesses in the States that are unlikely to meet market expectations, you'll often see a layer of management or a layer of or a round of redundancies being issued. And then what you see is improved performance. So it's all about earnings per share. So it is it's very challenging. And it can be a very short-term view because, yes, if there's a redundancy program and they take cost out of the business, earnings per share increase, the damage it actually does to the people that are left in the organisation in terms of culture and in terms of their feeling around job security and engagement and connection to the organisation can have a really negative effect.
Now, in terms of what's going on in Irish business particularly, I mean, we know that Twitter lost a lot of, it's now X, of course, but it lost a lot of its talent because that was what Elon Musk decided to do, to cull by number rather than by virtue or talent.
It's often the way that these restructures come down. It's an instruction sent from on high or an instruction sent from the US on many occasions. And actually, the knock-on effect that that has had in the market is that some of the US tech giants no longer appear so shiny. You know, when you go into the organizations culturally, there's a lot of buying into the organization culture. There's a lot of almost drinking the Kool-Aid. But when you've gone through a couple of rounds of redundancies, and we've had in some organizations two or three rounds in the past 18 months, it can really skew the view on the US tech giants and show how favourable a lot of the European startups and the Irish indigenous tech companies are. Because the good news is there's still demand in the market. There's still lots of demand for people that are software developers, people in cybersecurity, data analysts, testers, DevOps, project managers, business analysts, right across the board. So people that have built up fantastic experience in some of these tech giants are now plying their trade with more local businesses.
It's funny that I see on Glassdoor all these jobs that are made available And it's extraordinary that on Glassdoor you might find the same job. It just has not been filled after 2-3 months.
Yeah, and look, there's...
Obviously, those particular employers just can't find a candidate, that no one's willing to work for them at the money they're prepared to pay.
And sometimes they're running jobs for opportunistic hires as well, where there's the same skill set that needs to be replenished due to, you know, attrition, hires, etc. The other knock-on thing that we're seeing in the job market, now that there are fewer opportunities on the market, there's more competition between shortlisted candidates. So the big tip for people that are job seekers and that are on the market at the moment is to do more than is expected. You can't just turn up to an interview having reviewed the company's profile or looked at their website. You need to know what's going on, what's happening in the market, what's happening in the organisation, and you need to come prepared. You need to bring something more than is expected. Whether you've done a piece of research, printed out a few slides, or, you know, something that's going to make you stand out in a more competitive market.
Now, what about the perk culture? I mean, breakfast, lunch and dinner and a few nights out paid for by the company, all that sort of stuff. Has that gone by the wayside?
It still happens. And, you know, we see organizations that are, you know, bringing in large catering companies to kind of encourage people to stay in the office. And it's definitely a perk. But I think in the world of work now, it's more about engagement and it's more about how people feel, how they feel valued by the organization, how respected they feel. So all the perks and all the free lunches in the world don't make you feel great when you look around the office and you see friends that you've worked with for a number of years have been removed through a redundancy program.
Yeah. And I mean, it can be quite cruel the way they dismiss people. Good morning. This is your last day at X. Or I won't say X because that is a company, at Y.
Yeah, I mean, that's the exception rather than the rule. But we certainly saw that straight after the pandemic, when organisations such as that made some pretty drastic changes. But it's definitely not the norm.
Now, what's happening to salaries then as a result of this? If you've got this tightening up, are they also tightening up on the salary offers? Is that because there's maybe more competition from candidates that the employers can moderate a bit?
Well, two things are happening when it comes to earnings. First of all, earnings are holding firm. So salaries are staying firm, but we're not seeing the upward pressure on salaries that we saw immediately after the pandemic. When there was that hiring frenzy, there was extreme upward pressure on salaries, and that affects competitiveness. So salaries aren't declining, but they're holding strong. The other thing that we're seeing is that employers are accessing talent in different ways. So, you know, in the old days, it was all about getting a good, permanent, pensionable job. Now we're seeing employers engaging talent in different ways, like they're taking on people on permanent contracts, on fixed term contracts, and more they're engaging people as freelancers and contractors, where somebody may work 3 or 4 days with one company and a couple of days with another company.
They may pay a premium, though, for that kind of temporality, because, you know, if you got a permanent job, maybe you'll accept less.
Exactly. So the premium for a contractor is about 40%, but then a contractor doesn't get paid for annual leave or bank holidays. It's all in their day rate. But there's a certain amount of autonomy that goes with that, and actually being master of your own destiny, which is quite attractive to people.
Some of the text coming in, the need for employees is dropping due to AI. Ireland is too vulnerable.
Well, when it comes to software developers, for example, we're seeing that AI has been used to write really good code, and it's really good in the refraction and, I suppose, testing and debugging process. But you still need really good people that understand how to use it. So I would say that AI is going to optimize and create, it'll be a net positive. It'll create more jobs than it displaces.
My company, a US multinational, is laying off and saying nothing publicly or even internally. We only find out who's gone by talking to people. Very unsettling, with no context for us. The share price is higher than it's ever been. That's from Fiona.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon.
I was working in the tech sector until last November when I was made redundant. I've been approached by several recruiters online about potential roles. If they feel I'm not suitable for a job, they simply ghost me, never responding to follow-up questions. Can you ask your guest if this is common practice? It's not only disheartening, but it's also really frustrating. That's from JP.
it is incredibly frustrating, and it does happen quite often. I think the challenge is for recruiters, whether they're internal recruiters in a company or recruiters based in an agency, they can't control the number of applications that they have. So if they receive hundreds of unsuitable applications, it can be incredibly time consuming to get back with feedback to every single applicant. So
it is
a real challenge.
To our listeners who imagine that the head of HR or the head of personnel is advertising, but that's not the way it's done in the modern world. They may get external recruiters who do all the heavy lifting at the beginning before you ever get near anyone from the company itself.
Yeah, it can really be a combination of both. You'll have internal recruitment teams and some corporates, and then you'll have agency partners supporting them as well. But as I said, if the jobs are advertised on job boards, online, and through searches like LinkedIn, there can be hundreds of applicants, and there isn't a filter to really filter out people who may not be qualified or experienced for the role. So that feedback cycle is very, very challenging to manage.
So it is common practice that recruiters ghost people that they know just are not going to make the cut, and they're not going to waste their time answering the questions as to why I didn't get further, why I didn't get to, you know, stage 3 or stage 4.
Best practice will be acknowledgement, so that they'll get an acknowledgement to either confirm whether they're going to be kept on file for a more suitable opportunity or if they're unsuitable. But sometimes the volume is difficult to manage.
Finally, I should ask you about people from overseas who are here on visas. What's the situation with them? They're often, I don't know whether this is the law or not, but they're tied to a company by virtue of their visa. Does that lead to stasis?
It depends on the type of visa, because, you know, if you're on a stamp 4, you're entitled to work for any employer. But on a stamp 1, that's the one that is connected to a particular employer. If that person, they're probably less inclined to move on that type of visa. But if they decide to, what they need is for their new employer to actually go through the process and have their visa transferred across.
OK. And again, someone might not want to go through that process lest it somehow becomes unstuck.
Well, you'll see that some employers will be more inclined to go for somebody who's legally eligible to work in the country without restriction rather than having to go through an application process. But for skills that are in demand and that are very hard to find, they'll go through the process.
Donal O'Donoghue, Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment Ireland and host of the Talent Matters podcast. Donal, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.